This is Adam O'Leary with the Lead Generation Mastery Podcast. Each week, I interview successful entrepreneurs and have them share their exact traffic and lead generation strategies they are using to scale their businesses. The best part? You can implement these processes in your own business and start seeing results right away. If it's helpful for you, I broke the show into an easy-to-follow, step-by-step guide that can be found in our Facebook group at adamoleary.com/group. Once again, that's adamoleary.com/group. All right, let's dive into this week's show. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Adam O'Leary from the Lead Generation Mastery Podcast. And today I have Akhil Jabbar on, and I am really, really excited because Akhil is a very good friend of mine that we have basically known each other for 6 years now. When I first started working online, we ended up starting to work together. It was pretty crazy. So Akhil, great to have you here.
Man, good to see you, Adam. And it's a pleasure to be on.
Awesome. Yeah. So Akhil, just so you guys know, he is the founder of Horizon Capital, which is basically like a private equity company is probably the simpler way to put it. And one of the companies he's associated with now is Postalytics, which is a really remarkable platform that I'm really excited to kind of dive into this because it's been amazing to see the growth of Postalytics, especially since you guys have gotten involved. And what is Postalytics doing right now on an annual basis?
Yeah, so I think last year we grew about 40%, and we should probably hit 100% this year. We have a pretty good plan to hit that. I think last year we ended just over close to 4 million ARR.
That's awesome. And 40% and planning to go 100%. That's crazy. And how have you done that 40% so far? And how are you planning to hit that 100% growth?
Yeah, so I think last year we did all kinds of experimentation to see what's been working, what's not. Before kind of we got involved, like the primary engine was SEO driven, so all inbound kind of content driven. I mean, it seemed to work well. And when we came in, we were getting all these leads, but it seems like they're just kind of leaking out of the bucket, kind of churning out, or they weren't converting. So our first, area of focus and attention was really kind of focusing on conversion rate optimization. So we're getting all this traffic. How do we optimize these conversions on the website, on the checkout page, on the pricing page? And we just really focused on nailing that down. And over 4 months, I think, we drove it from, I think we increased it about 38%. So that's kind of like the lift we got without changing anything on like top of the funnel. And then next step from there, starting in early last year, we really started creating new campaigns. So ads was the kind of engine that we started driving for. So that was a combination of Facebook and Google ads. I think when we first started, like our ad budget, we were spending like between like 5 and 7K a month. That was just like, first 5 or 6 months, it's just like, we have zero data here. Let's just figure out what's working, different audiences, different ad campaigns, different sets. And you just find all this like weird stuff that you never expected actually start converting. So that was it last year. And that's kind of helped, the growth. And then this year, we're really focused on scaling that up. So we started this year, tripling that budget, just ramping up the ad spend. So now we're spending like 15K a month. And our goal is to, probably, get up to like, 50 or 100K a month at some point. So ads has been another one. And then content. So really focusing on, guest appearances. So that's been good for like from an SEO perspective, for PR, link building. So Dennis, the founder, is, pretty involved in going on all these shows. So we, line up all these podcasts that we think are relevant. We do the outreach and build those relationships and schedule those. And that seems to help as well.
Holy smokes. Okay. So it's like a full operation that you guys are running. This is awesome. I love this. And I like what you said, that the first thing that you did was kind of like fill the leaky bucket, because I really think that's so key. What were the things that you went ahead and you tested in order to convert more of those users?
The first place you want to look at if you're doing any conversion rate optimizations, you'll look at going to your Google Analytics, look at your top 10 pages that are getting the most amount of traffic, and then go dig into those pages and see, okay, what is the conversion rate right now? And then you can kind of see. So I think the homepage was the big one. So we did some testing on the actual copy of your header section. So as soon as you land on the page, you see like the copy that's there. We generally tested that. We added pop-ups. So like these, these things as you're like about to exit, it's like, hold on, here's a little pop-up, make sure here, get your free user. And then the little hello bar at the bottom. And that really, really helped. We actually got an increase to conversions. What else? We did the checkout page. So we did have the testimonial part. Like we tested different testimonial images and like had a better woohoo. But the weird thing is like we did that test and like it actually went the opposite direction, right? So sometimes you've done these tests and like they don't improve. So maybe using video there might've helped. We didn't try it. So that was actually a cool thing that came up to mind when you mentioned, you do videos, we can try it there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the blog article. So like these blog articles that are like ranking a bunch, getting a bunch of traffic, like in real estate, we'd put in like these opt-in sections, like within like, hey, get this like e-guide or book, or, get your free account. So we create like this really nice design, put it in the middle of your page, and that would drive more traffic as well. So those are some of the things we did.
That's really cool. And I guess a question there too is, so when you said the pop-ups, so pop-ups always annoy me when I'm on a website, but does it work? I guess is the better question.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. And what you have to be careful is like, you just have to put in a script of like people who are users. So they don't get, so the people like sign up and then they come to your site and then they get it. That's like even the worst thing. So you got to make sure like those people don't get it. Yeah. But the new users, yeah, just like hit them up. You're just like, just annoy them.
So
until
you go
they buy
in. So anybody who just comes in, sees your blog or whatever, you hit them with a pop-up. Is it like a certain, like, how do you do the pop-up? Is it like the second they touch, it's like bang? Is it like almost like New York Times, how they do it instantly? Or is it, which is drives me insane. Or is it when they scroll down a little bit on the page that you hit them? Is like, how does it work there?
So we actually set it for exit intent. So it's like, you can scroll down, you're like reading it, like, oh, this is interesting. And then you're like about to leave, whether it's like go back or exit, then we hit you. So I was like, hold on. Before you leave, let's just give you something else.
Do you give them a lead magnet or how does that work?
No, this one is pretty just straightforward. It's like, hey, like, you know, sign up for a free account. Like, it was like, here, like, you know, these are some benefits, get your free account. Because people don't realize, like, you know, they don't realize that it's actually free to use their platform. We have the freemium model. So you can go ahead and create the account. So that's our kind of main goal here. It wasn't like optimizing for sales or conversions. That's something we're doing more now on like the dollar side. It's just like, how do we get as many free users in? Because we're very product led. And then we'll figure out how to kind of convert them down the funnel.
That's awesome. And when it came, so first, it sounds like the first thing you did was kind of fill the leaky bucket. So you tested the headline, you tested the pop-ups, you placed the hello bar at the bottom, you even put it inside of your blog articles and things like that in order to try to fill that leaky bucket that's coming through. At what moment were you like, okay, we've pretty much optimized this as much as we need to. Now it's time to start sending more traffic. Like, what were the key metrics that you were looking for?
So at that point, I was like, okay, we have two decisions here. We can go, you know, further and like keep optimizing this. Or do we, you know, like, what is it just from like an economical size? Like, all right, do we feel like, you know, 38% was enough? Or do we want to take this to like 50-60% and spend the next 3-4 months, keep testing this? Or let's, you know, ramp up the, you know, the top of the funnel engine and just like drive more of those free campaigns. So we're like, okay, well, I think we're at the point now we can revisit this later. We've done a good enough job where we need to start, like, let's try it with new traffic and see how that converts.
That's awesome. And did you see any drop in your conversions? Like, so for example, you started doing ads. Were you sending Google ads directly to the homepage? Your SEO goes to the homepage and then Facebook ads goes right? So does everything go right to the homepage or is it separate pages?
Yeah. So initially we did everything to homepage. So Facebook and most, you know, goes to homepage, SEO goes to blogs and homepage. And then Google ads, we were going to homepage, but then what we found is, so what's interesting when you do Google ads is like, you think it's like you're hitting on head keywords. Like in this case, like direct mail automation, automated direct mail, right? You think these are the keywords and they're good and they convert well, but they're expensive. But what happens is like, you know, with Google, you start like finding these other keywords. In this case, I'll give you an example, like QR code generator, which you would never think as a keyword that would convert, right? Like how do you tie that together?
Really?
Put yourself in the person. Now it's like really hard to like put your head in the position of these people who are actually using it. It's like, this person wants to create a QR code, right? And you're like, they're looking for something to create a QR code, but what they really want to do is like print something out, send it, or like create it and like in a piece of, they're actually going to print it, right? So by the time they get to us, they're like, oh, this thing is a QR code generator and I can actually print it and I can do everything on this tool and it'll send it to whoever I want to send it to. It's like, wow, this is now like, so that journey kind of like shifts your mind, right? So so that was going to the homepage, and then we actually ended up creating a separate landing page talking about like QR code generator and like how to use it to direct mail. And just by making that switch, like boom, I think it was like 60% increase, like just by making that one change.
And so you made up a new landing page that was solely focused on the QR code and then you sent traffic to that one. That's
exactly
super cool. That's really cool. And how did you know it was? So when you were testing all of these random keywords and things like this, because we're actually just planning to start doing Google ads. So this is super, super helpful. When you were creating all of these random keywords, you're sending all of that traffic right to the homepage. And are you just based off of how many clicks you're getting? Is that what justifies creating a separate page for that specific keyword? Or like, what was it? What was the moment where you said, wait, this is a pretty good keyword. Let's go ahead and create a new separate page for it.
That keyword was actually already getting us a lot of conversions, like in terms of free user accounts. So we were getting clicks and it's actually a high volume keyword. So if you look at direct mail automation, like this is not that much volume, but QR code generator, like this, a lot of people looking for that, especially after, you know, COVID, it just, everybody's looking for tools like that. So like, and they were converting. So it was two things that were happening. It's like they were clicking and they were converting. So we're like, okay, now how do we get these conversions even higher? Let's try out this new page.
So you guys were looking at like Google Tag Manager, for example, and said, okay, this keyword sending X amount of actual conversions, like this percentage of conversions, let's try to optimize it, right?
Yeah, you can see it directly in Google Ads. So you can see like, okay, this keyword is getting,
Neat. Super cool. Okay, perfect. I'm gonna and I guess another question about that is like, how do you find these random keywords? Because if you were to go, for example, Postalytics, when I was looking at it, you have every competitor under the sun running ads at your name, for example. So how, and I'm sure that those competitors are also running keywords for themselves. So how are you looking to find the specific kind of keywords that other people could be looking for? Like what's the guess? Like how did you determine QR code finder thing was like a good way to go? Are you doing SEO first and then seeing the traffic from that? Or are you just throwing stuff at a wall?
So that's the beauty of, you know, when you have a little bit of, I think, you know, most people will get stuck. Like when they run a campaign, they'll just be like direct mail automation. They'll hit these kind of big keywords and then, you know, Postalytics, and then you get like discouraged or whatever, because like it's not converting. What you have to do is like when you run these campaigns, you run like more of a broad match. So let Google actually do the work, and they'll go broad and they'll find all these like related keywords. And then you just like see, like they'll like run ads on like 100 different keywords that are probably not even relevant. But then you go and manually like think like, okay, this is not converting. And like, do I really care about like free shipment cost to Canada? It's like, not really. So you just need to turn it off, right? Or like, so you like go through and it's kind of a manual. So you go broad and then you narrow down. You go broad and then you narrow down. And that's kind of how we test. It's like, okay, let's run all these ads. But you have to have the budget, right? And that's the thing, is like people think they just focus on like very narrow. So you have to go very wide. Like spend the money, get the data, and then slowly like narrow down. It's like, okay, these 5 out of these 100 are good. Let's scrap these 95 and let's find another 100. Then we go down, we got this 5, and then, you know, just keep kind of repeating that.
And what type of budget are you setting for those broad type of keywords?
So we have different campaigns. Like we have like campaigns for like Canada, for the US, you know, like top of the funnel. And then we use that and we like build new ones based off the winning ones. So it's kind of like a more of a complex
Is it like, answer. Yeah, I get that 100%. Yeah. So like, but for example, I want to go run Google Ads. Should I start with, should I put $100 a day budget? Should I put $1,000 a day budget? $5 million a day?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I mean, I guess it depends. You have to look. So you have to do some keyword research and understand like what is the search volume? Yeah. And what is the CPC? So it's, I think it's pretty straightforward. It's like, okay, if you want to run these 10 keywords, like how much search is there? How much, you know, clicks do you expect? And then how much do you think, you know, that'll cost, that you'll need just to, you know, compete?
Adam here. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. While it's fresh in your mind, go to adamoleary.com/group. I've broken this entire show into a step-by-step process that you can download from inside of our Facebook group and implement yourself or hand off to a virtual assistant. Once again, that's adamoleary.com/group. All right, let's dive back in. And how many clicks would you say would be enough to say, okay, this keyword's doing good? So for example, if I was talking to a friend of mine one time and he was telling me, he says, well, one of the worst things that you could do is like turn off a campaign where it's only like 10 or 20 clicks that have come through. And the reason why is because the next 3 clicks could all be conversions, and it completely changes the stats, because you could have no clicks for the first 10 and then 3 clicks right away. And now your conversion rate's like 28% when it was just 0 a second ago. So how many clicks do you look at before you decide, you know what, this is probably not a good idea?
So actually, so a lot of people get worried too much about that. They're like, oh, this click has cost me like $13 or like $25. I don't worry about clicks as much. I think just look at conversions. So run it until maybe get 1 conversion. Like if it costs you $200 for 1 conversion, like, is that worth it to you? I mean, you know your LTV and kind of the value, whether that's 5 clicks or 100 clicks, this is what you're willing to pay to get it. And then if it's like really terrible, like if you can go up to like, you know, $400 or $500 for like get a conversion, and then you're like, all right, maybe I need to like make some adjustments, then go from there. But I think focus more on conversions than clicks, I think, is more important.
That makes sense. So you're really looking at like what's the cost per conversion, and then you say, okay, you know what, it's $200 and my lifetime value is $202, so I don't want to pay that anymore.
it's not worth the stress
for $2.
Exactly. Like we went into this with intention, like when you ran like some kind of forecast, we're like, we're gonna hit $150 per lead. And, you know, we drove that down. We got to under 100. by the end of it. Then we're like, so that was another decision. Like when we started ramping up this year, was like, I think we got it down to like 70 or 80. So like the numbers already made sense because like, I think we started at like 200 and our goal was 150. And then we got it all the way down to 75, but like that was over time and testing. Wow. Yeah. So you have to give it time. And like, exactly. you're like continuously every single week making changes. And eventually, you know, like this week we're like, what are we down to? Like last week we're like 47 or something. Right. So like,
oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. So that's a huge drop.
Right. So like if you are profitable at 150 and that was your goal, and then you get it down to 50, like you can just like, you know, you can scale.
Got the money printer going.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really, really cool. And then when you're doing, so you're running Google ads and you have all of these different keywords that are going, say run 10K worth of campaign at this point, and you found say 5 to 10 keywords that are just crushing it for you. Like they're doing really, really good. Are you then taking those specific keywords that are making money for you? And are you actually turning those into, what's it called? An SEO pyramid or something like that? What's that word called that I'm looking for? Where you try to rank for a specific keyword.
Right. Like, yeah. So we create SEO content from it. Yeah, definitely. So we work in tangents. So we do the SEO side as well. So we also work with another agency as well. So you know, we'll look at what they're ranking for and like some of the keywords that they're trying to rank, and then we'll run it into our ads, and then vice versa. So it's like, we're getting all this, we're paying for it. Let's try to create it. And so for example, like that landing page, that was based off like SEO. It's like, maybe we can try to rank for this organically too, but let's drive traffic to it too. And we know it's converting already now.
Yeah, it's already working. So let's give it a shot. That's really neat, because then you can have the ads and then you also have the ranking. And I'm sure that actually even helps drive down the cost, because Google's always looking for relevancy too. That's exactly. One of their biggest, biggest components. No, that's really neat. That's a good little tactic right there. I like that a lot. And then as you're going through and you're sending, so now you have, say, Google ads running, you have Facebook ads running, which I think the Google ads is really cool, because I think you said that's like 30 to 60% of your total traffic right now, right? Is Google and SEO combined?
Yeah. So just to give you an example here, let me just see. So for example, like a couple of weeks ago, we had like 210 new signups. So like actually free accounts in a week. So from that, let me just quickly look. I think we had that same week. So out of that 200, about 61 came from paid. So that's a combination of Facebook and Google. So that's about 30%. So 30% of our free users come from paid, if that makes sense.
Oh, and then the rest of it comes directly from SEO. That's amazing. Exactly. That's really, really cool. And would you recommend that people start SEO right away? Or like once they start up, like for example, they just start up a new software company, they just start up a new agency. Do they start it immediately, or should they wait a little bit to figure out what's actually working first?
Right away. So think about it like, start from day one. I know because people are like very impatient, but if you're building a business, you know, think about long-term and you want to do this for a long time. So in the way, think about like you're building a raft and like you're going on the ocean, right? With ads, like you're just like renting this raft and you're just like using it, but you're paying for it every single day to be able to like, you know, travel around. Whereas like in the meantime, it's like you want to be building your own, like actually like putting the pieces together and like learning by navigating on this beautiful thing that you can like build it on the side, so that like at some point, you know, you have your own, right? So that's like building a real estate or the tree, however analogy you want to use, like you're investing, like watering that tree, and then eventually it's just like going to keep giving you, you know, money that you're not just renting it for.
Absolutely. That's actually a really good way to think of it. It's like you want to stop borrowing traffic and you instead want to try to turn it into your own, which is a really nice kind of way to think about it. Exactly. No, that's super cool. And if somebody, so let's just say they haven't invested in SEO yet and they thought about it, but the problem is one, they have no idea how SEO works, or two, they don't want to drop $200 a blog post to have somebody else go write it or whatever it may be, or I don't know, maybe it could be cheaper, but what is that kind of process that you would recommend for somebody who's just kind of starting up in the SEO type of side to be able to start the process without, I would say, having to commit to like a 10K type of a commitment initially?
Okay. So you're saying there's a constraint of budget and how do we do it without costing too much? So there's another way you can drive traffic without like writing, you know, doing it on your own website, which you're talking about, like creating content on your page. And if I wasn't that, so like, for example, this podcast is a piece of content. It's part of your, you know, branding and all that kind of exercise, but you're going to publish this, et cetera. And it's going to help you drive, you know, traffic. The other side, if I was to focus and I had limited budget, I mean, you could learn SEO. And if there's a place to focus is maybe like technical SEO, like fixing all your structure and speed on your website, maybe hire a developer to get that fixed. I think that's like a upfront thing you want to take care of before you go into content. And then from there, if you're limited on content, you have more, on budget, but you have more time, I would do more of these things. So I would actually go and do guest posts on other people's website who have a lot of traffic or do guest podcasting, because now you're not going to, because it's going to take a while to like try to rank on your website and like get all the, you know, try to rank. You can't because you're a brand new site and like you have no authority. So going on all these other pages who already have authority, who already have a big audience, and leveraging their site to drive that traffic back, I think is probably a good start. And then once you get that, then you can start, you know, creating it. That's how I'd look at it.
That's a smart little way to think about it, is just use somebody else's domain authority, basically, to be able to rank for the specific keywords that you need. Exactly. No, that's a genius little tactic right there. Yeah, because that way anybody who is starting up, I mean, probably most of the listeners that we have here probably already have the budget or whatever it is to do, but when you are going ahead and if you do need to start up, I mean, it can be challenging. I mean, starting online, it can be an insanely daunting area, you know, because there's just so much to do. There's so many people who can help you, but it's like, where to invest that money up front. So you would say anybody who is starting up right now, the first thing that you would recommend doing is SEO. If they don't have the budget for SEO, or if they have no desire to learn how it works, is to do guest posting and jumping on people's podcasts and that types of good things. And then once they start doing that, start investing in SEO, start investing in conversion optimization, and then you can start hitting it with Google ads and Facebook ads and that types of good stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah, unless your whole business model is like, you have a way of like using ads and you know exactly the funnel of like how to build that out. If you're just starting off, yeah, like content is your best friend. I remember like my first website I created in like 2014, and like I was just like write. Like on my own, I didn't know anything about SEO, by the way. I just like write whatever I felt like. But then like people would come, and I remember like I'd put like these Amazon links. I got my first like 30 cents and I was like, whoa, this thing works. But like, but if I were to do it again, like I would keep that content because I thought that was interesting and like it was helpful, which is like what people want to read. But then I would go on all these like podcasts to like do guest posts to like get me traffic, and I know it would work from there. So yeah, I agree.
That's smart. I like that. That's a good way to break it down. I really like that way to break it down. And I guess like the final question that I would have for you is, I kind of want to just go back to conversion optimization quickly, because it is such an important area. And it's one of the big focuses that I always have, whether it be for any of my companies. If you're spending all this money on getting people to your site, you need to make sure that people that actually hit the site actually convert. What would be the three biggest areas that you would say for conversion optimization that anybody should be checking right now to make an instant impact in their business?
Yeah. So I think I mentioned, I think, you know, if you look at your funnel, maybe look at your homepage. So first thing is like test your homepage copy. So look at the header section, because that's like 80% of your traffic is just going to go sit there and they're going to exit. They're not going to scroll down. Add social proof, you know, right there, you know, videos or whatever you have. And then from there, if I would go down, I would say the next step in the funnel, add those exit intent pop-ups. Like I said, those are simple wins. They're super easy. You know, subscribe, you know, whatever call to action. Like you can be more direct if it's like, you know, get something free, or it can be an opt-in to like a newsletter or, you know, like an ebook. But I think those are some quick things you can do.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, Akhil, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. And anybody who wants to go check this out, guys, postalytics.com is the place that you can go ahead and do it. And honestly, Postalytics is pretty cool. If you're doing direct mail marketing or anything along those lines, or if you're running an agency that's working with local clients primarily, Postalytics is perfect. They have a whole agency white label program and everything like that. So definitely would recommend going and checking that out. Akhil, thank you so much for jumping on with me. This has been crazy, crazy helpful for the audience.
You're welcome, Adam. It was glad chatting. I'm happy we chatted, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining this week's session of Lead Generation Mastery. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to go to adamoleary.com/group. Join the Facebook group, and you'll be able to download this week's step-by-step written process, which you can hand off to a virtual assistant or implement yourself to start generating leads right away. You'll not only get access to this week's written process, but all of our other shows' processes as well. Go to adamoleary.com/group in order to download the guide now. All right, see you next week.